na balaba giri Jamunati Ravana Shadi Jamunati Ravana Raya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida Shama Kunda Radha Kati Didi Gopridan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadap Dham Ki Jai Gyanga Jumana Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samavetna Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gopriva Nandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parsachare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shmasri Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Praying for Ram Srimad Bhavan Canto 10, chapter 57, verse 4. Yosma Vyam Sam Prati Sutya Kanya Ratna Vigartyana Krishnaya Dana Sutrajit Kasmad Brataram Anviya
Krishnaya Dhanasatkari
Mahatma Param Andhiyat
Yeah. Ooh. Asmabhyam. To each of us some prati srutya. Promising Kanya, his daughter, Aratna, jewel like, Vigarhya, contemptuously neglecting. Na as Krishnaya. To Krishna. Adat gave not Satrajit. Satrajit. Kasma. Why? Bratram, his brother, Anviyat, should follow. Translation. Satrajit promised his jewel-like daughter to us, but then gave her to Krishna instead, contemptuously neglecting us. So why should Satrajit not follow his brother's path? Purport, since Satrajit's brother Prasena had been violently killed, the implication of following his brother's path is obvious. What we have here is an assassination plot. It is well known that both Akur and Kritavarma are exalted pure devotees of the Supreme Lord, so their unusual behavior requires some explanation. The Acharya is provided as follows. Srila Jiva Goswami states that Akur, although a first-class pure devotee of the Lord, was a victim of the anger directed against him by the residents of Gokul because he took Lord Krishna away from Vrindavan. The Goswami further state that Kritavarma had associated with Kamsa, both of them being members of the Bhoja dynasty, and thus Kritavarma was now suffering from this undesirable association. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti offers an alternative explanation. Both Akura and Kritavarma were furious with Satrajit because he had insulted Lord Krishna and spread false rumors about him in Dwarka. Under normal circumstances, Akura and Kritavarma would have been most pleased that Lord Krishna married the beautiful Satyabhama. Being pure devotees, they could not actually be unhappy about this match, nor could they become jealous rivals of the Lord. Therefore, they had an ulterior motive in behaving like his rivals. His mind thus influenced by their advice, wicked Satyadhanva murdered Satrajit in his sleep simply out of greed. In this way, the sinful Satyadhanva shortened his lifespan. Purport, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, the word asattama indicates that Satyadhanva was basically evil-minded and a firm hater of Satrajit. As the woman of Satrajit's palace screamed and helplessly wept, Satyadhanva took the jewel and left, like a butcher after he killed some animals. When Satyabhama saw her dead father, she was plunged into grief, lamenting, my father, oh, I am killed. She fell unconscious. Purport, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, Satyabhama's anguished feelings and words at the death of her father were prompted by Lord Krishna's pastime potency to prepare for the Lord's violent reaction against Satyadhanva. Queen Satyabhama put her father's corpse in a large vat of oil and went to Hastinapur, where she sorrowfully told Lord Krishna, who was already aware of the situation, about her father's murder. When Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram heard this news, O king, they exclaimed, alas, this is the greatest tragedy for us. Thus imitating the ways of human society, they lamented, their eyes brimming with tears. The Supreme Lord returned to his capital with his wife and elder brother. After arriving at Dwarka, he readied himself to kill Satyadhanva and retrieve the jewel from him. Upon learning that Lord Krishna was preparing to kill him, Satyadhanva was struck with fear. To save his life, he approached Kritavarma and begged him for help. But Kritavarma replied as follows. I dare not offend the Supreme Lords Krishna and Balaram. Indeed, how can one who troubles them expect any good fortune? Kamsa and all his followers lost both their wealth and their lives because of enmity towards them. And after battling them 17 times, Jarasandha was left without even a chariot. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains the word Helanam, that the word Helanam indicates acting against the Lord's will, and that Vijanam indicates an offense against the Lord. His appeal refused. Satadanva went to Akura and begged him for protection, but Akura similarly told him, who would oppose the two personalities of God if he knew their strength? It is the Supreme Lord who creates, maintains, and destroys his universe simply as his pastime. The cosmic creators cannot even understand his purpose, bewildered as they are by his illusory maya. Purport. The use of the singular Ya, he who, indicates that the frequent references to the two lords, Krishna and Rama, do not compromise the firm principle of monotheism expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. As explained in many Vedic literatures, the one Supreme Lord expands himself into innumerable forms, yet he remains the one and almighty God. For example, we have this statement in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadir, Anantarupam. The one Supreme Lord is infallible and beginningless, and he expands himself into innumerable manifest forms. Out of regard for the spirit of the Lord's pastimes, in which he expands himself and appears as his own older brother, Balaram, the Bhagavatam here refers to the two lords. But the bottom line is that there is one Supreme Godhead, one absolute truth, who appears in his original form as Krishna. As a child of seven, Krishna uprooted an entire mountain and held it aloft as easily as a young boy picks up a mushroom. I offer my respect obeisances to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose every deed is amazing. He is the Supreme Soul, the unlimited source and fixed center of all existence. His appeal thus rejected by Akura. Also, Satadavanda placed the precious jewel in Akura's care and fled on horse, a horse that could travel 100 yojanas. Purport, the term nyasya, leaving in the care of, implies Satadanva now believed the jewel was his. Thus he was leaving it in the care of a friend. In blunt terms, this is a thief's mentality. My dear king, Krishna and Balaram mounted Krishna's chariot, which flew the flag of Garuda, and was yoked with tremendously swift horses, and pursued his elders, their elders' murderer. In a garden on the outskirts of Mithila, the horse Satadanva was riding collapsed. Terrified, he abandoned the horse and began to flee on foot with Krishna in angry pursuit. As Satadanva fled on foot, the Supreme Lord, also going on foot, cut off his head with his sharp-edged disc. The Lord then searched Satadanva's upper and lower garments for the Shamantaka jewel. Not finding the jewel, Lord Krishna went to his elder brother and said, "We have killed Satadanva uselessly. The jewel isn't here." To this, Lord Balaram replied, "Indeed, Satadanva must have placed the jewel in the care of someone. He should return to our city and find that person. I wish to visit King Videha, who is most dear to me." O king, having said this, Lord Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu, entered the city of Mithila. Purport, Krishna and Balaram had finally caught up with Satadanva on the outskirts of Mithila. Since the king of the city was a dear friend of Balaram's, the Lord decided to enter the city and spend some time there. The king of Mithila immediately arose from his seat when he saw Lord Balaram approaching. With great love, the king honored the supremely worshipable Lord by offering him elaborate worship as stipulated by scriptural injunctions. The almighty Lord Balaram stayed in Mithila for several years, honored by his affectionate devotee, Janaka Maharaj. During that time, Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhan learned from Balaram the art of fighting with the club. Lord Keshava arrived at Dwarka and described the demise of Satadanva and his own failure to find the Shamantaka jewel. He spoke in a way that would please his beloved Satyabhama. Purport. Naturally, Queen Satyabhama was pleased to hear that her father's murderer had been brought to justice. But her father's Shyamantaka jewel still had to be recovered, and thus she was also pleased to hear of Lord Krishna's determination to recover it. Lord Krishna then had the various funeral rites performed for his deceased relative, Satraja. The Lord attended the funeral along with the well-wishers of the family. When Akura and Kritavarma, who had originally incited Satadhanva to commit his crime, heard that he had been killed, they fled Dwarka in terror and took up residence elsewhere. In Akura's absence, ill omens arose in Dwarka, and the citizens began to suffer continually from physical and mental distresses, as well as from disturbances caused by higher powers and by creatures of the earth. Report the word Daivika here refers to disturbances caused by supernatural beings. These disturbances often manifest as natural calamities like earthquakes, tidal waves, or extreme weather. Nowadays, materialistic people attribute these disturbances to earthly causes, not realizing they constitute punishment at the hands of superior beings. The word Bhautika refers to trouble caused by fellow creatures of the earth, such as human beings, animals, and insects. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Akura took the Shyamantaka jewel and went to reside in the city of Benares, where he became known as Nanapati, the master of charity. There he executed fire sacrifices on gold altars with elaborate assemblies of qualified priests. Some residents of Dwarka felt that the unusual calamities were due to Akura's absence, forgetting, as described in the next verse. That Supreme Lord's personal presence in Dwarka precluded that possibility. Because when the Lord comes to earth, his pastimes resemble those of human beings, the principle of familiarity breeds contempt comes into play. It appears that during the lives of many saintly persons and incarnations of God, there always exists a class of people who fail to appreciate, or who only occasionally appreciate, the position of the great souls among them. On the other hand, the fortunate and enlightened souls who recognize the true position of the Lord as associates are extremely blessed. Some men proposed that the troubles were due to Akura's absence, but they had forgotten the glories of the Supreme Lord, which they themselves had so often described. Indeed, how can calamities occur in a place where the personality of Godhead, the residence of all the sages, resides? Report. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti provides the following insight on this verse. In Benares, Akura became famous for performing sacrifices on golden altars and for his abundant charity to the Brahmanas. When the citizens of Dwarka heard about this, some of them gossiped that Krishna, considering Akura's arrival, had sent him into exile. To dispel this new and incredible stain on his reputation, Lord Krishna created various calamities in Dwarka, thus inducing the citizens to call for Akura's return, which the Lord then ordered. The elder said previously, when Lord Indra had withheld rain from Kasi, the king of that city gave his daughter Gandini to Svafalka, who was then visiting him. It soon rained in the kingdom of Kasi. Report. Svafalka was Akura's father, and the citizens felt that the son must have the same power as the father. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that because of Akura's relationship with his maternal grandfather, the king of Kasi, in a time of difficulty, Akura went to that city. Wherever his equally powerful son Akura stays, Lord Indra will provide sufficient rain. Indeed, that place will be free of miseries and untimely deaths. So here we have the story of how Satyabhama's father was killed, and then Satadanda fled and he was killed, but the jewel was not there because Akura had it, and Akura had fled to Varanasi, and there he was getting gold from that jewel. So interesting to point out that one, of course, that how we get a murder taking place in Dwarka, and particularly that was Satyabhama's father. So, of course, we see that even in Vrindavan there is killing of demons, etc., like that. But here is the opposite, where the father of one of the queen, who was to be the queen of Dwarka, one of the main queens, her father got killed. Of course, killing could take place, because we see in earthly pastimes, as may happen in Vrindavan, demons get killed. But we have to all attribute all of this to some arrangement of the Supreme Lord for certain pastimes. Now, certainly, Satadanva is described here as a wicked person. So he was not a devotee at all. He was actually a demon. So just as the demons come into Vrindavan, so the demon could come into Dwarka and cause disturbance also. In this case, he actually killed the father of Satyabhama. And then we find that Krishna killed him near Mithila. But he couldn't find the jewel because Satadanva had given it to Akura. And then Akura fled to Varanasi because he understood that Krishna would be looking for that jewel. So, this is all an arrangement of the Supreme Lord for his pastimes. One of them is to marry Satyabhama. We find here also this incident where after Krishna returned, there was this disturbance in the city where the city got afflicted as if it were a material place. So we get Adidaivik and Adibhautik problems. That is, weather problems and living entity problems causing great disturbance in that city. How is it possible in Dwarka, which is spiritual world, is Dhamma? So again, Supreme Lord Shakti allows all this to happen for certain reasons. So in the purports explain that actually this was all arranged by the Supreme Lord himself. So that when people began to get an anxiety and complain, they would request him to go and bring Akura back. And so that's exactly what happened. We see that many people began to think that the calamities are there because Akura isn't there anymore, so we should bring him back to the city, which is foolish. And this is often given by Acharya as an example of a materialistic thought, that the Dham of the Lord is a material place. And certainly for materialists, this will be a very pleasing type of statement. Say, see, that place actually is not spiritual, it's material, because it is afflicted in this way. But as with other incidents, we have to give a different explanation as devotees of the Lord who understand the Lord's potency. And as is stated right after that, this cannot happen because the Lord is present. So it's not because of Akura's absence or anything. Where there is the Lord, it is always auspicious, and Krishna lives in Dwarka. So that is the proper understanding. That where the Lord is, nothing evil can happen. So the Lord does not depend on Akura or anybody else. But people who don't have very strong faith may feel like this, and therefore they think that the prosperity of the city depends on somebody else. This actually is not the mentality of a devotee. It is a person without faith, and he doesn't have the understanding that everything depends on the Supreme Lord, not upon Akura or anybody else. So, such thoughts when this disaster took place are symptoms of lack of faith. How do the residents develop that lack of faith? Again, we can attribute it simply to the arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that he would bring Akura back. Rather than to think that all the inhabitants were actually not very faithful to the Lord. For the majority of the people living in Dwarka, they have to have some spiritual status. not everybody can associate with the Lord in the Lord's Dham. So they have to be very spiritually qualified to do so. There may be a few like Satadanva who are allowed to enter who are materialists, but otherwise, by and large, they are devotees of the Lord, and they're qualified to live there because of their high status. So therefore, these thoughts that the people had, we can also attribute to arrangement of the Supreme Lord for his pastimes. And we can't blame them and attribute them to having impure minds. So in this way, the Lord's pastime takes place. It's explained that Akura was put into this awkward position of having to leave Dwarka because of the curse of the gopis, because he had taken Krishna from Vrindavan. So they were very angry at Akura. So therefore, they cursed him, and therefore he ended up with a problem later on. So just as the gopis got separated from Krishna, Akura got separated from Krishna also in Dwarka, and he had to leave and go away. But of course, we can understand he was a great devotee, and therefore in separation he would also feel, when he is separated, he would also feel that the feelings of separation, though not as intensely as the gopis would feel. So that is one way of explaining the whole incident. And of course, we can say that the whole incident, Akura's involvement in the incident, also we can attribute to this problem, the curse of the inhabitants of Vrindavan to him, that he got involved with Satadanva in this way, even though he shouldn't have. At the same time, we understand that nobody ultimately in the spiritual world gets cursed or whatever. Or we can say rather they get cursed by some arrangement for pastimes. Just as the Kumaras curse Jai and Vijay. But why would they curse? Because they are Amaramas. They shouldn't get angry at all. How they got angry, etc. But they cursed, and then Jai and Vijaya fell into the material world. So, again, we attribute all of this as an arrangement of the Supreme Lord for certain pastimes. Since they were very elevated devotees, and actually Shaktivash avatars of the Lord, the Kumaras, so how could they get angry and curse someone? So, similarly, the gopis cursing and then having a reaction in the form of this, we say some arrangement of the Lord for pastimes, and we cannot attribute actual material malice or hatred to the gopis. And we can also not believe that in the spiritual world, among the spiritual world, that curses have an effect like in the material world. Quite different. It's all some arrangement for the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So, in any case, this incident took place where the city of Dwarka became afflicted, even though it should be a place of eternal peace and happiness, etc. It got afflicted by storms and other problems and whatever, as if it were a material place. So again, we cannot think of it as a material place at all, and therefore it is arrangement of the Supreme Lord for particular pastimes. So this type of arrangement is often made by the Lord when he appears within the material world, much more than in the spiritual world. So when there's an entrance to the material world, often there are pastimes which appear very material. We see in Vrindavan, everyone appears like material persons. They don't even identify Krishna as Supreme Lord. Here in Dwarka, they accept Krishna as Supreme Lord. But still, the pastimes often appear as if they were members of material society, etc. So here's an instance where the whole city looks like it's material. It's getting afflicted by earthquakes and whatever, storms and that. Actually, this is only some appearance arranged by the Supreme Lord, and it's got nothing to do with the spiritual nature of that place. It is not affected at all by anything. But materialists can think like that. So we see some of the people of Gorkha thought in this way, we're being afflicted, and the cause must be Akura's absence because he's the most auspicious person, etc. So it's highly unlikely that they should think like this in the presence of Krishna. Yeah, they did. Again, arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So the devotees will understand the nature of these pastimes. Materialists will not. And they will take this all as material. And a big example of that is the disappearance of Krishna. So Krishna gets shot in the foot and then he dies. That's the external appearance. But it is made very clear in the Bhagavatam itself and, of course, in the commentaries that this is a material appearance, an arrangement of the Lord. And actually, Krishna doesn't die at all. He ascended to Vaikuntha in a chariot. He didn't leave a body that got cremated at all. So quite different from what people in the material world will see. Often there is an appearance of the pastimes and the plays and the people being material persons and acting, seeming to act in material ways. But it's only an appearance. The materialists are fooled by this, and then they will conclude Krishna is material, the Dhamma is material. But the devotees understand that this is contradicted by other statements in the Bhagavatam that talk about the eternal nature of the Dham, the spiritual body of the Lord, etc., the eternal bliss in the spiritual world. So there's a direct contradiction. So the way of resolving it is by explaining that this is an appearance, an arrangement of the Lord for his pastimes, in which ultimately the result is higher bliss.
But it's when you said Akura is the, eternal associate of the Lord, then how can this the nature of enviousness arise in Akura's mind? Because Akura and this Peter Burma, they are envious of Shatruji, because they say that in Bhagavad that Shatruji will be more powerful than them. They said they made this plan to kill Shatruji.
Yeah. As I said, that all of this we can say is we can attribute it partially due to the Lord's arrangement. Just as we find that even Parikshit, why does he put the snake around the neck of the meditating Brahmana when he is out of thirst, of all things? When Parikshit is most self-controlled, he honors the Brahmanas, etc. How could he do this? And again, arrangement of the Lord. These apparently faults in the devotees are actually arrangements of the Supreme Lord for pastimes. And even we can say that Lord Brahma, again, why does he forget Krishna's nature and try to fool him and test him? Again, arrangement of the Supreme Lord for certain pastimes. So that's the ultimate explanation.
And the question you are seeing, whatever happens is all Lord's arrangement. And we see the curse of Jaya and Vijaya. Because the Jaya Vijaya, when they came in the material world, as Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, they created so much disturbance in the material world. And as a result, so many innocent people or so many sages suffered. So can you say that this was the arrangement of the Lord?
Yeah. What's that?
Can you say that this also the suffering of the sages and general people is also arranged with the Lord?
Well, we can say that the result of their suffering is that the Lord appeared as Narasimhadeva and Rama and Krishna, and therefore they get great bliss because they can directly associate with the Lord. So their suffering from the demon is countered by association with the Lord and direct service to the Lord as a result of this. So actually they get great blessings. So by one act, the Lord accomplishes many things. He kills the demons, he gives joy to the devotees, etc.
So, but in one sense, if we see this cursing this four Kumaras to the this Jaya and Vijaya, but there is forgetfulness of Krishna come to them. Forgetfulness of Krishna, they become envious of the Lord. although they are pure devotee, you can say this for the Jaya and Vijaya, but for some time they become opposite to the Lord. Because of their develop envious nature towards the Lord. So it's not that, you know, bad for the devotees.
Well, even the Kumaras.
This Jaya and Vijaya.
Oh.
Because for some time they become
When they become demons, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can say that is actually an appearance in one sense. Just as we see Vritrasura.
Yeah.
He was actually a devotee inside. He had an appearance of a demon. So we can take it like that, though we can say in this case their absorption in the bhava of a demon was more
intense.
But it's also explained that under normal circumstances, there are regular demons, Hiranyakasipu, Hiranyaksha, etc. And this example of getting cursed by the Kumaras and coming into the material world is not a regular event that happens every day of Brahma. It's a one-time event. And other times we get a regular Hiranyakasipu, a demon, a real demon, and then the Lord comes and kills him, you know, every day of Brahma. So it's not that Jaya and Vijaya get cursed every day. So the regular is actually a demon, it's not Jaya and Vijaya, they're regular demons. But they get killed by the Lord and they get blessing ultimately, and ultimately Krishna kills them and they go to the spiritual world.
Thank you, Maharaj, for wonderful realizations. So nice to hear you. When Akura was taking Krishna and Balram, one of the ponds where he had bath, he could get a view of the lordships in the form of Narayan. But later, was it continued? Did he know that Krishna and Balram were the expansions, or was it only a temporary view that he had?
Who was that?
Akura.
Akura?
Yeah.
Well, Akura, he was in Mathura and in Dwarka, and he understood Krishna as Supreme Lord.
Okay.
He appreciates Krishna and his form as Krishna, but he also understands he's Supreme Lord. So he's like, has a mood of Aishwarya that he understands Krishna as Supreme Lord, but he appreciates that form of Krishna.
And was there any later incidents in Mahabharata? Was he connected later, like during the times? Because we never hear about him later in any of the Leelas.
I don't know. Okay. Later pastimes.
So. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Jai.